Je t'adore, Jay-Z.
Of course I love you. I love all y'all. For real.
I love girls. I do adore.
Yo, put your number on this paper, cause I would love to date you. Holla at you when I come off tour. Yeah. Now that Spanish chick, French chick, Indian and black, that's fried chicken. Okay. Yeah, fresh to death in Moschino. Coach bag looking half black and Filipino. Fitting no jazz, got you a beat with a feeling cold.
I got a bad light skin from the valley. She be in the club with no panties. Young bitch, she do.
Hey, I'm a bar spitter. I'm a hard hitter. Yeah, I'm light skinned, but I'm still a dark nigga. I'm a bitch spitter.
Louisiana, you mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
Cinnamon, I pounded harder. How come the only girls that I thought of are the light ones? Well, tonight then, we gon' do it for the dark ones. It's important that you are more than welcome to the Carter Fortin. Y'all enjoy it. I will go ahead and I'll kiss y'all on y'all forehead. Out.
What's up, guys? It's Asia Shabazz. I'm a DJ, a mommy to a beautiful baby boy. I'm obsessed with all things music, pretty much. And I'd consider myself a Christian, but I'm a cool Christian. I was born and raised in LA, but I also reside in New York to balance out life's bullshit. And I am sitting next to...
Yo, what's up? It's Bren Colleen, author of Love Letters and Lighter Fluid. I'm a writer, a rap nerd, a grammar Nazi. I mean, I'm so damn woke, I could probably use some sleep. But fuck formality. I'm sitting next to my sister. We got about an hour left in this studio. Let's just get all the way into it. Oh, and if you haven't figured it out by now, this is the Mixtape Podcast. Duh.
Okay. Not to like jump the gun and be a psychopath, but I have what? I have stuff to get off my chest. Our first segment, can we introduce it?
Yeah, we can. It's okay. Called...
It's called Get It Off My Chest.
Yeah.
And I do think that we can kind of like funnel our Sounds About White segment into Get It Off My Chest, just because I've had a lot of experiences where... The only reaction is, sounds about white, you know? And one of them is with a mutual friend of ours.
Right.
So I'm on her Insta story, and she's an Australian mutual friend of ours who comes from, like, a pretty well-off family, and more power to them. Good
privileged.
For them, but she's super privileged. Yeah. Damn, I wish I could remember. My brother told me that there's, like, there's terminology for, like, when you see, like, a bunch of white girls, it's called, like, a pack of privilege, which is hilarious to me.
I will look it up right
now. No, I think he made it up. I don't even know if it's, like, a validated thing. However, so I'm on her Insta story. I see her playing Meek, Rick Ross, and Hove's song that is pretty much kind of unpacking the complications of mass incarceration. And
the song Free.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
What's Free? And they just kind of like unpack all of that. And she's showing her steam room and her shower while the song plays in the background.
In her penthouse of her condo.
Mind you, I am the biggest Jay-Z stan
that's your god.
Ever been existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't tolerate it. I'm also so proud of the man that Meek's kind of like evolved into through his circumstances.
Yeah.
And so, of course, like,
Black man, too.
To her Insta story and was just like, you can't white privilege flex to that song. It's illegal. Kind of just like as a LOL, but also don't do that.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then she responded like, no, I never see color. And then I responded with, sounds about white.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't have that privilege. No. I can't not see color.
Yeah.
Because I just live in a different world than you. And also, I have my eyes. So every time I look through them,
that's what it
I
is.
I see different shades of shit, my nigga. Yeah. And you pretending that you don't because it makes you feel like more of an ally is some cunt shit. Like, I'm not here for that.
No, 100%. And also, it reminds me or brings me back to, you know, I just got off tour from doing the Australian New Zealand tour for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Which was obviously awesome because I fucking went to Australia and New Zealand. But crazy at the same time because I didn't realize how racist Australia is.
And no black people there. They banned them. They sent them away.
They sent that, like, for the
Sent them to Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at.
100%. For our listeners who don't know, like, the history behind Australia is they literally exiled
and murdered and put them in slavery. And, like, it's a whole entire everything evil you can imagine
to black
people.
They did
that to their blacks. But didn't you say that they call them something else?
Aborigines.
No, black people in general, like in Australia. Like
they
in
were calling. They were calling, well, what? Because they were calling me the dark. dark people. Like, literally, there was this, okay, so me, there were two other black people, and we're walking down the street, and this, like,
Wait, like, with your team when you're touring?
Yeah,
and stuff?
I think we're in, like, Sydney or whatever.
Right.
And we're walking down the street, and literally, this little white baby is, like, smiling at one of us. So we're like, oh, cute, a little baby, you know?
Interacting.
Yeah. And the dad is like, oh, she loves the darks. I just, you know, I never know what it is, but she just loves the darks.
How did you respond?
All I could do, bitch,
I would have been like,
I just fake smiled and smized my way away.
Aww.
And it was because I knew genuinely and sincerely he didn't mean anything.
He didn't mean any harm by it.
But it just was racist. And it was just like, how did you not know that? You know? And it was just like the amount of black people. I could count on both hands how many black people I saw in those 2 weeks.
That would make me so uncomfortable.
Like, it wasn't until I got to New Zealand that I was like, thank God, you know?
Yeah.
But like,
oh, because there was like a higher percentage of just,
well, like, New Zealand is very like islandy, like, okay. I literally thought I was in like a Moana movie. Like, I don't need to be, but it was, you know, it's very like tribal and like all of that, very similar to like Hawaii and all of that, you know? So a lot of melanin happening. In Australia, like I said, I can count on two hands in a matter of 2 weeks how many black people I saw. And then for the dad to like say to me, like, oh, she just loves the darks. It was
how,
like,
condescending.
Girl, I just
about white.
Yeah. Sounds about white. Exactly. And it was just like, I guess, you know. And then I ended up having like this whole entire deep discussion with somebody backstage before we were going on stage. And like, they were pretty much telling me how much they couldn't stand Beyonce. And I was just like, how can you possibly hate on Beyonce?
That,
like,
is the devil reincarnated.
I'm just like, Beyonce is the hardest working woman in this entertainment industry. Like,
nobody hates Beyonce.
Nobody. It doesn't matter if you don't like her music or anything. You just can't hate her. You know what I mean? So I'm like, how do you hate her? And she's like, oh, well, she's disrespectful to the police. And I'm like, how is she disrespectful to the police? And she's like, and not only that, but then she asked the police to protect her. And I'm like, how? What are you even talking about?
When did this take place?
Yeah. And she's like, the Super Bowl. She's like, with her whole Black Panther performance. She's like, I'm like, how is that disrespectful? She's like, oh, you know, Black Panthers were disrespectful to the police and they were really aggressive people. And I was just like,
they were defending their people against the police who were marginalizing them and still have been doing it for the past how many decades?
Exactly. That's literally what I said. I was like, you mean defensive?
Yeah.
Like, how can you even? And then she went on this whole rant, like, how can we continue to relive the past and still, you know, she's like, Beyonce keeps trying to make us relive it. And I'm like, she's not making
us. Oh, is it Beyonce that's doing that? It's not slavery.
It's not little boys.
That this existed.
It's not even little boys getting shot.
Young teenagers getting shot.
Still
in
getting
the street.
Lynched. Like, still,
it's Beyonce.
We're still reliving. We're still
ruining this country.
We're still living in those times.
It's nauseating.
She was so ignorant in what she was talking about that it was just like, wow. I was literally conversation with somebody that was like, this is middle America. This is white America.
Yeah, well,
this is
the Bible Belt and below. Like, what, just not to generalize, but where geographically is she from?
I don't want to say.
So then I'm going to guess
Middle
Georgia,
America,
Alabama, or Florida. It has to be one.
I don't
want to
put
Southern
that in there. So we
you don't have
that.
To put it in there.
Yeah, because I don't even want to talk
about
that.
At the end of the day, like, the thing about it is we're from these cities that are metropolitan. You know what I mean? And we have a level of diversity that has exposed us to expecting kind of the globe to be a little bit more open-minded and kind of pro-humanity and people in general and when we meet people that don't represent that, it's a fucking culture shock.
It was just crazy to me because it was just like I was in Australia. I was already dealing with like being called a dark person.
Yeah, and a dark.
I'm having
like it's a pronoun.
Then I'm having
dark.
And then I'm having an argument with a person about Beyonce disrespecting the police all because of her Black Panther performance. And it was just like, you just have no idea. And you are literally just racist.
You don't want to be like, I'm the child of a Black Panther. You never want to like, well, I'm the first person to be like, excuse you, so, my dad's a Black Panther.
It's so funny because both of us are daughters of Black Panther, but I feel like
We're called Panther Pups.
Okay, well, whatever. See, and the fact that you know that, like, I didn't, my last name is Shabazz. You know what I mean? And I didn't even learn what my last name really meant until my early 20s. Right. You know, so, but you grew up like, bitch, your first hand movement was your right fist up in the air. You know, so it's like.
Well, and a middle finger.
Exactly. 100%. So, like, but more than ever in my life, I felt like. Yeah. I felt like my dad's daughter. Like, what? Like, how can you, like, because it was just, I was just so overwhelmed with racism and just everything. And it was just like, this is what I'm dealing with today in 2018. And I'm raising a Black son. Like, I'm raising a Black son with people like you in this world. That's just wild.
Okay, well, our next segment is Pillow Talk.
Yes, I love this segment. It's a good one.
I like it when we focus it more on how it affects rapper beef.
Oh.
But if you want to talk about relationships, we can do
that. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's
talk about relationships.
Yeah.
You could start.
I don't really feel, I haven't really been in my pillow talking bag lately.
Well, we could get in it right here, girl.
Oh.
We could get in here. Because you're the one that's brand new dating.
Right. I'm in a brand new situationship.
Situationship. Yeah. So we can talk about, or we want to talk about, like, the time of getting into a new relationship.
No. And, like, and you know what? It's so funny. I literally Googled, this is the most embarrassing thing ever, but I Googled.
What?
How many times a week do you have to see somebody that you're like seriously dating?
I know. I can't believe you Googled that.
Bitch, but
what was the answer?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. The answer is inappropriate. It was, they say the first month you're supposed to see them once a week. Okay. Second month, twice a week. Third month, three times a week. Fourth month, four times a week. Fifth month, you're basically on some everyday shit. As if you don't have a job and no side projects. Yeah. They want you to abandon your family and tell your friends, no, I can't come to your birthday or your baby shower. I'm in a new situation. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I mean, that is crazy. That is hard. But it's like,
I have a hard time like seeing him like a couple times a week. And the thing about it is I want to see him often. I want to have way more sex. I want to see him way more. I can't make the time. Like, the time doesn't exist.
Okay, so then how, like, at what point, how long does it take for you or for like the average girl to fall in love?
Oh, bitch, I'm not over here in love.
I know. Well, you never know. But I'm just saying, but what's an average time? Like for me, you know how I feel about this. Like I think.
Yeah, explain. No, explain your theory.
Okay, so I think love is our first language. I think that it's, God is love.
Rapping.
Okay. Well, my belief is just God is love. You know, love is our first language. We're walking love, you know? Right. And I think that it's way easier to love someone than it is to like somebody. Like, I love a lot of people.
Right.
I don't like.
Right. Like my grandma, I love. Like, sometimes.
It's different. Right. Yeah. Exactly. My baby daddy, love. Like, it's hard.
I'm not going to talk about that on this podcast.
But I'm, you know, easier, you know, siblings or like cousins,
of course,
whatever.
Family member, of course, family
it's
members.
Way easier.
I have one cousin that is a Republican.
And there you go, love.
I do.
And not like.
Well, I hope she doesn't die.
Well, so the point is, but love is different than being in love.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Well, I definitely feel love for this guy.
100%.
I don't want him to die. Is that love? What is love?
Love is, God is love.
See, because right. To me, love, if God is love, I feel God most when like I'm listening to music or I'm in the middle of nature, like, or I'm writing a scene and like we're in a flow. You know what I mean? So,
see, and I think God is omnipresent. I think God is all times, all of everything.
Me too. So right now, later, before this.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
so it's like it can, it's just
It's air. Yeah. You know, God is air. It's everything.
Yeah, so, and water. And, no, I feel you.
But being in love.
That's different.
Whew.
I feel like that's a little bit of slavery. Only because you remember me in love.
Bitch.
Like,
It's different.
I don't even recognize myself.
There's different phases of being in love, too, in your life. There's being in love high school, where it's like you thought that was, like, literally the end all.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Then there's the 20s. You know what I mean?
I was kidding about that,
then
too.
There's
Joe, Terry, then there's Joe, Terry. It was a joke.
I'm just kidding.
Just kidding, Joe. I loved you.
Yeah, I loved him, too.
I loved him.
Then there's the 30s, where it's like, okay, because you're starting to think about life. You want kids and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But at the same time, too.
Well, that's what I feel stupid about, too. Like, I'm apprehensive about jumping into a relationship with, remember we agreed we're going to call him No Data?
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't want to use
names. Exploit him.
Exploit him? You. I'm not trying to shoot myself in the foot out here. Yeah.
And we won't. So, right.
No, but I don't want to jump into a relationship super quick with No Data just because I'm 34. Like, I don't want to be like, this is my boyfriend.
Why?
I'm 193. I just told you.
Like, so what do you want? You want to just be single and then married?
I just think, like, if we know what it is, cool. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or, like, any sort of, like, solidification. Like, we don't need to solidify it or give a title or do anything like
well,
that.
Well, pineapple and me, if I'm going to say something, pineapple is our safe word.
Pineapple's our safe word, and that means...
Shut up.
Retreat. Do not finish your sentence.
But pineapple me. Okay. But... I think that that has a lot to do with just past experiences and, like, being a little bit jaded, you know?
I'm a lot bit jaded.
Yeah, but not, you're a lot bit jaded, but you're also not, and I hate when you say that, because you are a little bit jaded because we're older and we're wiser and we also just are, we're not
and
gullible.
And we've been through some fuck shit. Niggas are fuck. And niggas suck. Are gonna nig, and they do.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, you're not all the way jaded. It's just jaded to the point to be realistic. You're more realistic than optimistic.
I think that too. I'm more realistic than optimistic, mm-hmm. and I try not to be cynical about shit. But at the same time, I'm not trying to give this dude so much credit, but it is him. You know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't this
guy,
specific person, I would be way more jaded and off it.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense, but it also just takes time. And I think that in that same, like, in that whole concept, like, I think the best part to that is just taking your time and just seeing what it is. Because here's my theory. Ready?
Yeah.
The first year of dating someone, you don't know them. You have no idea who they are.
I think the first three.
Well, let me tell you. So you don't know them. They have a mask on. They're trying to be this person who they want to be.
Right.
By the second
year. Who they think you want them to be.
Yes.
All of the above.
Yeah. By the second year, they're starting to take their mask off because they're getting a little bit more comfortable.
It's harder
to keep that mask on.
Right.
By the third year, that mask is off. And then it's the aha. Who are you? And are you somebody I want to be with?
And that's where women usually get in this corner where they're like, I don't even know who this is. And it's like, girl, this is who he's been.
He was fronting the whole time.
For 2 years trying to bag you.
The whole time.
Now he did. This is who he is. And you're mad. You're fucking a stranger.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens. I've been in a relationship like that. Like, I've seen so many identical relationships like that.
But it's also on the women's side, too. Like, we won't just do man shaming because women, too. Like, there are women out there who put on a show and do all these things and can actually be batshit crazy and act like nothing fucking fucks them up. And they're fucking crazy.
That's
and
me.
It's just
I
like,
would like to own up to my flaws right now. That's me.
How?
What day can I do it?
How I'm going to stop? How? And that's what happened.
I've tamed my crazy.
You have. That's wisdom, girl.
Oh, thank you.
you got it. Thank you, queen. You
got Talk it. About it, right? Sis.
But here's the thing, too. Do girls get dumb? Like, do girls get dumb when they get in relationships?
Look at Oprah. She is brilliant, rich as hell.
And she's dumb, you think?
Well, actually, she's over there taking that for a ride. She said marriage. Are you crazy, boy? You lost your damn mind.
Okay, but then here's a question. So, like, okay, in the midst of, like, trying to fall in love and all of that stuff, when is it time to, like...
Do you think it's a try? Like, I think that it's more of a catch you off guard kind of thing. Because I'm running, like, a psychopath from this love shit.
You are, but there are some girls that want to fall in love.
Oh, yeah. We have plenty of friends that read the love languages and they are practicing
the steps.
They're
looking to fall in love. They want to fall in love. True. They're looking for it in every person. So then, you know, in the midst of doing that, you're playing this game, right? At what point in time when you're dating someone...
I wish you wanted to drink wine with me.
At what point in time do we stop playing the game?
I'm trying to be, I am playing it a teeny bit, But I am trying to be as just like, I don't have time. We don't have much time for game. Remember when we were young, how we would play the game?
Yeah, forever.
Like professional.
Forever.
What?
Take it to the grave.
We took pride in it. Take it to and the it's grave. Now it's just like, I have deadlines. I don't even have time to play games with you. What are you trying to do? What is it? Do you want to meet or no? No? Cool. Right. I got a deadline. Like,
right.
So it's a little bit different. And I'm trying to be like super honest and transparent. My difficulty comes when it's like the guy, if you don't mirror the same level of just kind of vulnerability and transparency, then I'm going back in my shell. Like, mm-hmm. I can't.
That's understandable, and I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I think that's totally
where
fair.
I'm at.
But here's the thing. Okay, then what about this? Let's talk about sex in the midst. So
you think that there's a too soon to have sex type of a thing?
I don't know, because let me tell you, there's different people that have different theories, right? So like, yeah, one theory is doesn't matter when you have sex.
No, I agree. Period. That's my theory.
Is it okay? Because mine is power of the pee, bitch.
And yeah,
I think that's the power, and I think
it's fun to play with that.
I think it's totally the power, because I think that no matter what, it's even scientifically proven that when you after you have sex, your happy endorphins in your brain go off, and then that's what makes women think that they're like way more in love than what they are. Because
no, I remember I told you, I was like, every time I have sex, I want to say I love you, but I know
it's those endorphins.
Sex. Yeah,
those endorphins. So like, and that's a thing.
I just go home. Okay, whatever. We move in. We'll move on to
our next. This is my favorite.
It's my favorite.
You segment.
Fell into it.
I did. So our next segment is called The Process.
It is.
I love it. And I want to talk about the process of having a baby and transitioning into mommyhood.
You did that miracle. Some science fiction, make a life type shit.
I did it. And I literally, for the listeners who don't know, I just had a baby 17 months ago. And yes, that's still.
You are that mom that's like 17 months ago. It's a year and some change, dog.
It's a year and 5 months. And I don't care. And it's still
a year and a half. Let's just say a year and a half.
Nope, because it's still a just. And I did.
17 months ago.
And let me tell you. Once he turns two, though, I'm not going to be like, my kid is 28 months. I'm not going to be.
I can tell that you are.
No, I'm not.
I can tell after, that you are.
Literally, after he's a year and a half, I'm going to start saying a year and a half. He's still 15. He's 17. He's still 17 months. So he's a year and
he's
5 months.
And a half.
He's not 16 months. He's not 18 months yet.
Don't a year and a half is a year and 6 months, right?
Anyway, so my point is the process of transitioning into mommyhood. And a lot of people don't know. I'm the first of our friends who had a baby. And it's just been really crazy because you know, I feel like I moved to New York 5 years ago.
Right.
And being from LA, I wanted something different. And then being gone for so long. And then honestly, I felt like at the time I was at the climax of my career. Like I felt like I had figured out how to make the money. Mm-hmm. I had my cute apartment in Manhattan. Like I was living my best life. Mm-hmm. And then boom, I got pregnant. And it was like, ooh, you know, like how am I going to do this? What's going to happen? And nobody tells you, like everybody just sees a baby and they think, oh, amazing, what a blessing. Obviously, yes. Alexi is the best thing that has ever happened to me. What? The best thing? I gave birth to my very best friend.
He's your best.
My best.
He's literally your best quality. Your best quality is your baby.
Exactly. My masterpiece. But in the same sense, like I dealt with postpartum for a year. No. I dealt with isolation. Like I had him in New York.
Body changes.
Everything. Like growing up, I was a six pack girl.
Not only having him in New York, you did the everything. Majority of your pregnancy in that's New York.
Yeah.
So you weren't around your family, your friends,
anybody,
your comfortability, the city that raised you, the mm-hmm. city that feels like home.
And I was sick. I was bedridden 80% of the time. So
your sciatica.
I had worked my whole entire life and then literally had to sit down for a whole year. That was
and
really hard.
Just so you know, this girl has never worn anything outside of a midriff since the age
crop
of 13.
Top. Crop tops.
Fine.
In
crop top.
10 feet snow, it didn't matter where I was.
She has had a six pack since she was like 4 and just rode the six pack wave out through her adulthood mm-hmm. into
everything.
All the way through your 20s into pregnancy.
Into pregnancy. And then it was like, aha, let me show you some things, girl. Bring it right back.
Stretch that tummy out, Jet.
So the transition was tricky. And then it was just like, you know, when you're pregnant, people don't understand. You're going through a physical transition. You're going through a mental transition. You're going through a spiritual transition. It's a miracle of life is happening inside of your body.
Well,
you know?
Also, what I'm sure is kind of like the you're, I mean, now a touring DJ, but like at that point you were doing like club spots and just different things around
corporate.
The city. Yeah, corporate gigs, but just like gigs that were for the most part, like you'd go out, have some drinks, do a set, you know?
I was like, living my best life, girl.
That came partying. To a crashing halt.
I was the wildest right before I got pregnant.
I remember you well.
I was the wildest. Well. Honestly, yeah. I still to this day feel like God was like, So it was a hard situation. And at that point in time, it was just like, even after having Alexi, like, I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I had been in music my whole life. And I, at that time, didn't even hear music. I didn't even hear God. I didn't have a purpose. Imagine walking around on this earth and not hearing God and not knowing what your purpose was. Like,
no, that's not, I couldn't imagine that. But at the same time, think about like how amazing it feels to know that you'll never wake up a day without not knowing your purpose.
But no, you don't know, because it happened.
Alexi.
Well, yeah, Alexi is always my purpose. But at the same time, too, I mean, for myself.
Like, no, I know. But
yeah,
now but still, it's like,
yeah. And that was hard. Here. And then also, too, being the first friend, a lot of you guys didn't understand. Like, you were sympathetic, but you couldn't relate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, even to this day, like, now
you
I've got
it. Can't relate.
Now I've got it down, though. Like, I've got it down. Like, now I got my nanny. I got my mom. I got my village. Like,
you got your mommy friends. You got your friend friends.
All of it. Yeah. You know? So that helps. But before, it was like, random, let's go out. All of our friends are socialites. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to catch. Let's go to whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, I got to pump. Ooh, I got to find a babysitter. Ooh, I need like 5 hours. But these plans come 30 minutes before you get a group chat.
Right.
And you're like, everybody's like,
are you coming or no?
Yeah. And it's just like, damn, that was hard. Like, that was a really hard process.
Now we're all so old and our schedules are so crazy that we kind of have to give each other more like ahead of time notice.
But it still doesn't happen.
You think so?
That's what I was going through during my break. After having Alexi, it was literally like, guys, like I need at least 2 hours to pump. I need to find a babysitter. I need a whole situation. I got to put my kid to bed. Like,
yeah.
I got to do a whole thing. And everybody was like, well, girl, we will
see you later.
And that was lonely, you know? So that was tricky.
I got you.
But now moving forward, like... Like I said, I've got you. After a while, you get in the rhythm of things. Like, I'm touring again. I've been in the last 6 months. I've been to London, Australia. I did all the festivals this year. I've been all around the world. I've DJed every, like, most of the most important places in LA. And I'm like looking back at my life and I'm like, wow, like, just to think, well, not even now what, but just to think a year ago. I didn't even
think. You were still trying to put your finger on it.
Bitch, I thought I was going to go back to school and be a psychologist.
Well, I'm here to tell you you're not.
I'm really
your theories
advice.
Are a fool. Your theories are literally based on just like your own opinion in the moment.
Well, to each his own, girl.
You did that. Because let me just also inform our listeners. The sweet, intelligent, beautiful woman sitting to the right of me absolutely has... She butchers every common quote known to man, regardless of what it is. So to each his own. What did you tell me to each his own was before?
I don't remember.
It's so good, though. I wish that I had, like,
something
an example. It was like when my ex-boyfriend moved across the country and you told me that absence makes the heart grow longer.
Well.
That's so good.
You got the point. Like, you got the point,
you
though.
You just pick another word that sounds like the word that really it is.
You knew it, though.
I did.
You understood what I was saying. So, yeah. So that's my process.
Wow. I mean, I guess my process is, I don't know. It's kind of like a lonelier situation just because
it's morbid.
Like, I mean, I like for shit to be morbid.
Yeah.
So, I like dark things.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, not necessarily like morbid and grim, but it's like very isolating. I'm a writer, obviously. So everything I do is kind of just like by myself. That's why I'm kind of like, I want to get in a writer's room. Like, I want to like bounce things off. You know, like I miss kind of just like the camaraderie and like the idea bouncing and the brainstorming and stuff like that. I'm working on my second book and... It's just isolating, you know, like I'm trying to get it done so that I can put it out earlier in the year opposed to later because I
didn't. Like first quarter, is that what you're aiming for?
I'm talking to my publishers about February.
What's that process like, though, writing and.
It is draining. You're just kind of like, you want some help, Ma? You want some help putting your charger in your computer? It's just. I mean, it's time consuming. You know, you have to throw several hours at it. And we have the kind of friends who, when they hit us up, or even just like my freelance clients, because I also do a ton of like contributing writing for freelance clients and stuff like that. And when they hit me up and I'm just like, oh, I'm writing. they'll call me back in 2 hours like, hey, are you done? And it's like, this is more of like a 17-hour situation that I'm doing right now. You know, like I have to put several hours in. I mean, the second book is a novel. The first one was a collection of contemporary poetry. So
Do a plug. Love Letters and Lighter Fluid.
My first book. Yeah, Love Letters and Lighter Fluid. It is available in Barnes & Noble and Amazon and Google Books, wherever you buy books, Kindle, whatever. Whatever you're into, buy my first book. I'm super excited to put my second book out, but I'm also working on this script that I have been working on for the past year and a half, and it's also draining. So for me, it's just like a lot of time alone. That's why I'm obsessed with you guys, because I need the Yous and the Joeys and the Crucci's and the Feffies and the, like, I need the people that are my friends to pull me out of my cocoon, because I will just stay in it.
And it's unhealthy. You know? Yeah. But it's probably kind of cool, too, to be able to do this, like hibernating like a bear. You know what I mean?
Well, that's me. I feel like, and everybody always kind of like reads me as such like an extrovert. And if I was describing myself, I would always describe myself as an introvert, because I've never viewed myself in that way. But when I'm with people, I can be social and extroverted, but I give so much of myself and so much energy that after it's over, I need to introvert and hibernate.
Yeah.
Double the time, you know, like I need to pour back into the cup and just like,
well, it's just because your energy is so vibrant and so good.
I'm a lot.
It's fun though, but I can imagine it taking so much, so that you have to go back in and fill your cup back up.
Exactly. I mean yeah, the duality of that, but I love writing and I love words, and I mean, it's the only thing I could imagine myself doing.
I mean, you're definitely born for this, bitch. Like,
I better be, because, you know, like, you think twice about it sometimes, and it's scary.
No, your shirt is bomb. But.
Just because, like, the year is coming to an end, I feel like something that we should talk about is our group of friends is very heavy with kind of, like, the holiday events and things like that. We spend, I think we spend the most amount of time with each other November, December.
Bitch, we spend the most of the time with each other all throughout the fucking year. I'm in relationships with all of you. So many birthdays, Valentine's Day, holidays, 4th of July, Labor Day.
No, I know.
Everybody literally gets so much energy. Like, I'm so happy I'm a mom now.
And how do you describe? I feel like it's a hard thing to describe to people that don't necessarily know how tight-knit we all are, because they're always like, what? You always have a birthday. Always. And it's like, no. I've known them since I'm like 11. I have to go.
Or I hate when I get that you have so many best friends. And it's just like,
I actually don't have. I have one best friend, Alexi and Dahlia, a boy one and a girl one. Everybody else,
I got my tribe.
Those are the homies.
And then we got our tribe.
Like, we're a tribe.
We've known each other for 25 years.
I mean, speaking about that, if we can just like, and don't hate me because I know how peculiar you are about order and structure and whatever, but just to kind of like skip over and like go into the mix.
What?
I think it's really important to kind of discuss with our listeners and viewership. Our friend group is very cemented and we've been together for a very long time, but the majority of us had a bulk of our life, more so like in the introductory years, where we were middle class as fuck in the West Valley, and we were only exposed to kind of, we were the black kid at school.
Yeah.
It wasn't several, it was one. Yeah. It was either of
five of us.
And then when we found each other, it was kind of like a refuge. Yeah. We could exhale. There's a refuge. That's why we're all very, there's a sistership, there's a kinship there, we're family, it's not just a friendship. I know to the outside world it looks super kind of like Hollywood, because several of our friends have obtained whatever jobs they've obtained, and it is what it is, but this is like a very real thing, and I think being biracial, there is a level of belonging and non-belonging that is consistent in just existence when you're biracial. And to have a tribe and a friendship group that has turned into family that make you feel like you always belong. Like, we've never chastised each other like, yeah, but you're feeling, like, we'll do sly little kiki jokes.
Ping pong.
Yeah, you little ping pong. Or when I speak Spanish and you clown me.
It's still funny.
But I mean, at the end of the day, we're also going to be like, Asia, bring that chicken adobo to the Thanksgiving Karuchi.
Right.
So you can, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Jen, if you want to cook, like, we all also celebrate, like, Feffi, if you're making this from Colombia, you know, like, we celebrate each other's differences, and that is so massive.
Yeah.
And it literally just makes me feel so fucking warm inside, like a little gay.
Hell yeah. It's amazing, you know, and obviously it feels good to be able to see people and see yourself. Like, when I look at you, like, it's funny because we're not blood sisters, right? Yeah. We found each other way early, and then we were like, ooh.
Spoiler alert!
Right. But it was just like, no, it's the truth, though. It was like, we found each other, and we were like, ooh, soulmates, sisters, this is it. And, like, for the first literal, like, 15 years, we made everybody believe that we were real-life sisters. Right. And that's, I really believed it, bitch.
You also were one of them. You guys weren't on your own. Asia was right there with you.
I believed it. But part of that came from, like, seeing you,
that sistership.
And when I looked at you, I saw you, I recognized you, I actually, like, understood curly hair problems, you know what I mean, dealing with not for nothing, like, I hate to be like mixed girl privilege, but dealing with, like, oh, you've got that good hair, or not knowing, like, where to fit in, you know what I mean, like,
and that's
too mixed to be black, but then not black enough, you know what I mean,
like, to be accepted,
and
then of course, and those stereotypes. And I feel like at the same time, like, there's a level of, like, and I don't want this to be any sort of, like, divisive rhetoric, because that's not what the fuck we're on.
No,
like,
not at all.
I have constantly gotten from kind of just bougier people that are like, yeah, but you don't count. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, bitch.
I do.
I'm them.
Yeah.
They're me.
We're
you
the
got
same.
Me fucked up.
That's my sister.
And the only reason I smack you up is because I was raised by a black family.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to bitch slap elders.
Right.
So other than that, you would be smacked the fuck up.
Yeah, but it's true. But it's also, you know, like, you think about our parents. Like, yeah, we went to school in the Valley, but my mom grew up on Slauson and Crenshaw.
Right.
You know?
My dad grew up in Crenshaw and Adams. And the thing about it is, now that we're older and, like, you have children and, like, I have nieces and nephews and I'm kind of, like, understanding it from a different perspective. Our parents really made a cognitive effort. Like, my child is not going to be raised with... in the same neighborhood. Yeah, but not only just this. They're not going to be raised in a police state. They're not going to be profiled. They're not going to be subjected to this kind of bullshit that I was subjected to. They're not going to have to overcome the hurdles that I had to overcome. They're not going to have to deal with the hardships I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And me and you were on that bus to the hood every weekend,
Jack. But it was also, too, like, my mom was very big on, like, she just wanted me to be well-rounded. Like, she was like, you're going to go to school in the Valley, but come summers, you're going to go stay right there on 54th and 8th Ave.
Yeah.
You're going to go, you know, I was at World on Wheels every summer. I had a freaking, what was that hotline number?
Oh, that hotline number was the party line.
The party
bitch.
Line. I had two. I had one for the Valley and one for LA.
Oh, you were lit. Because what I would do is call one of my LA friends and be like, call the party line.
Well, because the ones in LA couldn't call 818 number.
No,
bitch.
I know. So, that's why I would go to Wilda's. You go right to Wilda's. She got a 3232. Abraham, what, you can't call me now?
Exactly. But it was more based around, like, wanting me to be more diverse. Like, you're going to know this, but you're also going to know this. And it's not just going to be one or the
and other. And now we've all kind of evolved to this place where it's like, you can't put me in a circumstance where I feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
There is no room where I feel like less than.
Yeah,
that that scenario doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the way that I was raised and what I was exposed to.
Yeah.
At the same time, I feel like all of us suffer from hood nigga syndrome, where we just are like, well, we want this guy.
You suffer.
Oh, you don't?
Bitch, you.
Okay. So shout out to your baby daddy, stellar doctor who graduated from Harvard.
I went to New York and got fucking caught up in New York, bitch. That was a New York mentality. That was a LA girl.
Get the fuck out of here.
Bitch,
we
no.
all suffer from the same shit.
No, that was.
Yes, we do.
That was an LA girl literally absorbed in New York culture, wanting
you're,
that.
Before you moved to New York,
Washington Heights. Why do you think I got a whole Dominican son, girl?
You used to.
I got a whole Dominican son based off of Washington Heights off of MTV. I don't even remember those characters.
They only made one season, and they done changed your whole life. You done fucked your whole life. They made one season with them 18-year-old Dominican kids. running around in the height. You went to La Marina. It's done.
She's okay. Let me to the Bronx, 174 in the Grand Concourse. Let me tell you something.
I remember when that show came out. You were like, I want one.
A Dominican. Because they tricked you. Because you thought they were black. You. No, but
they tricked you.
Dominicans will get you because you think they're black, and then they open up their mouth and they speak Spanish, and you're like,
you don't even know they're not black till you hear them talk to their mom.
Bitch,
I was
confused, and I got. Then when I went to Dominican,
we just got Mexicans.
Exactly,
that's LA.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, you go to Dominican Republic, and they think I'm Dominican.
They speak Spanish. That's how I felt when I go to New York. They'd be like, "Mommy,
right?
Que lo que? Like, huh?
What? Yeah." But I do know how to make a pollo guisado. So shout out to my Dominican family because we are tight.
I love your multi-ethnic son. He's a beauty.
Yeah, speaks Spanish. He's learning Tagalog, and he's growing up on the West Coast and the East Coast.
Right,
dream come true.
That's one thing we can say. Same thing. Shout out to my niece.
Yeah. D.
Young D. Mm-hmm. Spanish, mm-hmm. English, Hebrew. We out here.
All of it. Yeah. Learn it all.
Right.
But that's also, that brings everything into the melting pot of this generation. Like,
no, 100%. We're only going to get more mixed.
Only more mixed.
Nobody's celibate.
And I really hope that what it does is just washes out all of racism.
The bigotry.
And bullshit.
Well, there's always going to be bigotry, fascism, capitalism. All that shit is going to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm counting down the days until all these white dinosaurs die. But that's morbid and grim, so you can't say that. My thing is that they're all in their last leg. They're not going to make it too far. They're not. And you see kids out here that are doing these rallies, that are doing these marches.
The new generation is ready.
They don't
ready.
Have time for any of you white dinosaurs. They're not listening to you.
The revolution is coming.
Right.
It's here.
They're walking in to your, like, meeting and speaking and letting you know how the fuck they feel from their standpoint at their age. Like, they're not scared.
No, it's true. Totally.
It's thick. So can you even imagine, like, the doors that your son is going to kick down?
What do you, 100%. I'm like, so I was just having this conversation yesterday with my cousin, and like, I'm looking forward to Alexi's generation. I'm
can't wait.
So excited.
Should I start playing Biggie's Kick in the Door for him now?
Sure.
So then by the time he's able to really kick with power.
Lullaby.
Right. Lullaby. And I will.
Yeah. But it's true.
It's lullaby.
Like, at the end of the day, the only thing that's inevitable is change.
100%.
So, and we're progressing, regardless if it's a lot of...
We hope that we are, right?
100%. Regardless if it's still happening or not,
right.
There's progress. You know what I mean? Because the internet's helping that, because now people aren't getting away with it. Now people are seeing it. In the same sentence, it's also showing us who our enemy is. You know what I mean?
Because which I love. I love stab me wolf in the front. Wolf's clothing, bitch.
Stab me in the front and right. Not in the back.
Show
I need
me
to
who
know.
You are.
I need to know.
No,
you know?
I agree.
So that's progress. So like,
but
I'm
at
saying,
the same
like,
time, we have to take into consideration that in the 70s, the whole hippie run and the whole free love and all of that acceptance of everybody, we're just like doing drugs and accepting everybody. And like, it was also festival culture. Mm-hmm. It was also like a culmination of people. It was all of that. And at the end of the day, by the time the 80s and 90s came, those motherfucking niggas, those white people cut their ponytail off and went to work and voted for Trump this election.
That's
you know,
true.
So we don't ever really know this, like how cyclical it, whether it works in our favor or not.
The only difference now, though, is like I said, everything's being televised.
You feel like the digital arena is going to change
100%,
everything.
100%.
I hope so. I want
because even with that happening, we remember the trendy stuff. We remember the cool stuff that was happening. And right. That's why it was so, I don't want to say exaggerated, but like shined upon because right. that was the trendy, cool stuff that was happening.
Right.
Now, everything is being shined upon because it's all right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
so that's what,
I'm sure in the midst of all the drugs and all the we are love and we are one and blah, blah, blah was happening. All that other bullshit was happening too. But the only difference was we didn't have the internet. We didn't have TV the way that it was to actually like show it. So,
well, I mean, like there was just as much terror then as I feel like there is now. I don't feel like technology is ruining us. I feel like it's more so exposing us.
Mm-hmm.
Like at that time too, they had the Vietnam War. You know what? Clearly it's exposing
everybody.
I was just talking,
I would rather see who my enemy is than not know. You know what I mean? Instead of somebody smiling in my face and then telling me like, oh, hey, you know, whatever. And then really you're
full of shit. You're
for Trump.
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right. Exactly.
Let me know immediately. I have a friend who he's a really close friend of mine who I adore him. He's brilliant. He was fucking this girl for several weeks and then found out after like the third time hooking up with her that she voted for Trump. Ooh. So I told him, like, you have to hate fuck her for the people.
Not a hate fuck.
You
bitch.
Have to.
Yeah.
Because you've already been in her. So it's not like you can never unfuck somebody. I've tried. Trust me. Well, you can't unfuck anyone.
Right.
You have to hate fuck her for the people.
And did he?
Yeah. He good. Had to. Okay. He had to. But could you imagine finding out somebody you slept with voted for Trump?
I don't know. I dealt with a lot of that in Australia recently, so.
But like somebody that you would be intimate with. Like,
no, bitch. That's
so
crazy.
I want to document just on our podcast in general. We have 754 days, 20 hours, 17 minutes, and 10 seconds until Trump is out of office. Mm. I'd like to keep a tally on this just because we need something to look forward to.
Okay.
You know what I
mean? I appreciate that.
Let's get optimistic. Yeah. You think I'm cynical? This is my optimistic moment.
Okay.
Now embrace we're looking it. At 20 hours, 16 minutes, and 50 seconds. Okay. So right. Still about 750 days. We got a lot going on.
All right. We can rock it
out. I do think that this fucker is going to be like, I'm not leaving the White House at all.
Yeah, I've had arguments about him going to extend and do another term. But
it's like, I mean, we'll like, see. he can do another term.
100%.
I'm going to be pissed if he does some like crazy shit where he's like, I want three terms too, and tries to like change the bills of like what's accepted and like what we're supposed to do generally.
We going to see. We gonna see. But let's lighten it up. Let's go into another segment, which is a fun one, and it's
one?
The shit goes.
My favorite.
Yeah. And let's highlight an artist or a song that we've been listening to.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Yeah, I want to go first.
Okay,
in light of our amazing annual holiday party.
Ooh, we didn't even talk about that.
I know. It was a good one. It's something I look forward to.
We have our friends of ours have this Christmas holiday party annually, mm-hmm. and
at the end of the year, and it's just a fun it's Christmas. It's just a fun time for our LA native tribe, all of us.
We could see everybody. It's so good because it's like you don't have to have the party, but you can see everyone that you would typically invite to a party.
100%. And then it's the end of the year, so who else? You're in the holiday spirit, whatever. Yeah. So we just had that, and it was fun because Joey hosted it, Karuchi hosted it, Tiana hosted
it. Yeah, Tiana and Terrence too, yeah?
Yeah, but I want to highlight Tiana's song because she just dropped an album this year, which I'm so proud of her because it's literally been like a long time coming, and she's so talented, and I think that she's like
so talented,
really underrated, and she just remixed one of my favorite songs on the album, Who's Gonna Love Me?
The Wu-Tang remix? Did you see the video?
Bitch, what?
Queen, you better live everybody's dream right now. Let me tell you something.
That's why I moved to New York.
I proposed to Method Man at the age of 16 when the Mary and because the Mary, all I heard, the first thing I ever heard that man say was, Shorty, I'll be there for you anytime I need you on the Mary J song. That was all I needed.
Well, there you
I
go.
Believed him.
Yeah.
And I did not doubt him.
Yeah. You used to make us watch him on MTV. Remember him and Red had that show?
I loved Method Man is still my celebrity crush. Tiana, you fucking killed the video.
Killed it.
The
song is amazing. And
you know what I loved? That like when our DJ, shout out DJ Casanova.
Yeah, my best
when friend. The DJ at the party played the song, Tiana could kind of see like how much we all fucked with her music outside of
absolutely
her being the homie. Like, yeah,
you're the homie, but also tight as fuck.
This song goes.
This is it. I must have Millie rocked. I never Millie rocked to that fucking tempo of a song in my whole life.
I felt so bad because typically I like to be like, you do it, I'll film you. But this time I was like,
it's my show too.
I'm Tiana Taylor. In case you wondered.
Right, so that's my record.
We were all in it. Okay.
So we're going to play it.
Beautiful. It's one of my favorites.
We go through this over and over and over and over again. It's really good.
Sometimes we say things that we really don't mean. We do things in between the lines. We should do more to stand out. I'm sorry if I made you feel less than who you are. Oh, you're the shining star I wanna spend my nights with you,
my life with you.
Oh, babe. Please wait up for me till whenever I get home.
Of course.
I know that you're all alone, thinking about what you gon' do. I hope that you'll see it through.
Regardless, we just gotta cut this shit out. Yeah, yo, we used to spin back
loving you, Minnie Rippleton. The bow's speakers had my walls and the plaques trembling. La 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 la, played in my mind all day. You come home, I let Cal go and take you away. Bubble baths of rolls, Gucci open toes. Sunday nights we sit and watch Power in our robes. All of a sudden, our lines got crossed over nothing. A text and your attitude changed. Yo, you bugging. Hit me in the face with the pillow and threw something. I just got up and walked in the room, you still cussing. Know I love yous before we sleep. Good nights is out the window, it lasts for weeks. It's been a while since I gave you my street vows. Promised to love you and hit it 2 times a day. Never cheat now. Our chemistry is like a bowl of cherries, and I'm the chocolate, I smother you, never to worry. I'ma share half of the blame for this problem that we going through. You know I'm a tourist, the bull, you know I'm stubborn. So tell me, what's on your mind?
Sometimes I don't think we really say enough. Why is it so hard to keep in touch when we're laying right next to each other, baby? We shouldn't re-end and think so much. Overthink and understand us. Don't let a feeling change it up. I wanna spend my nights with you, my life with you. Oh, baby, baby. Please wait up for me till whenever I get home. I know that I'm all alone, thinking about what I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
I hope that I see it through.
I ain't got time for tricks, them broads ain't loyal. I get a Spanish chick, I make arroz con pollo. Keep my woman fresh so she will never be spoiled. And she can be my queen, but we will never be royals. I don't give you cream, I mean, but I assure you, I'm heavy with the D, I got nothing but love for you. Sex as a weapon, got nothing but slugs for you. Ain't no protection, I done shot up the club for you. Yeah, if I adore you, me amore you. These dudes cannot afford you, let the guard couture you. Yeah, I like them loyal from the soil. And rhetorical questions when we smash, adorable. Who put the sex in sex appeal? Shorty got a receipt, but her ex gets the bill. Look, I'm too grown for Netflix and chill, but I G and post up like a Netflix for real. And you love me.
That's my jam.
I love that video.
It's so good.
It's so nostalgic.
It's such a
vibe. It's exactly what it needed to be.
So good.
And can I just really quickly, my dream is to smack Ghostface.
Oh.
And it's like, I know that when you guys were blocking that video, she was just like, I'm going to smack you in the face. And I would have done the same thing. But if Ghostface was like, the fuck you are, I'd have been like, heard you.
Yeah.
Heard you. I would just want to see if I could get that off. So not you. Meth. Because Ghost ain't the one to fuck with, girl.
She did like, that. And the song's dope. Even before the remix, it was crazy.
No, I love so the regular song, too. I love her album. Yeah, I wish Kanye didn't fuck it up, but, well, you know.
It's part of life.
We're all
okay, let's go on into yours.
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, obviously, I'm doing Just Because I Am a Hove Head and I study from the Book of Hove religiously. I am going to pick the Jay-Z, Meek Mill, and Rick Ross collaboration on Meek's album, which is What's Free. And I just want to say about this song before it starts, Rick Ross, and like I am a different level of certified rap nerd, like check my credits. No, but like Meek and Rick Ross's verses on this are insane. The only thing about it is that Hove is so different.
He's different. He just can't compete.
It's just a different
level. He is
level,
who he is, and that's
and
just
so
what it is.
I'm so happy to have him back. Dad,
he never
I missed
left.
You. No, but, well, you said, see, and that's where it is. But his guest versus his collab versus on other people's shit just wasn't to the standard of what
you're
hearing
like
right
4-4-4
now.
444 either.
No, girl, don't be crazy.
That was
I'm
just
not,
a few months ago.
Think this is blasphemy. I'm talking about like what he did on All the Way Up, or you know what I mean.
That
like
was before 444.
No, I know he had guest verses that it was like, all right, you're giving them a little bit of Hove, but you're not hoving these niggas down, and that's what he did in What's Free. And
shout out to Meek, because I am so proud of you.
The man that brother. He has grown into.
My brother. I'm so
I love
happy.
It. Flow, King, float.
Yeah.
Float. I love it. So this is that.
What's free? Free is when nobody else can tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my niggas I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true.
pray my niggas stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my niggas I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life was
free. Since the lad I was cunning, just got a pad out in London. I keep stacking my money, I need a ladder by summer. 8K shots, niggas ducking straight shots. Been a top dog, that's before the K dots. Cracking in 06, immaculate showmanship. Talking like you Mitch, disastrous on the strip. Holding on your bitch, coulda never sold you a brick. With them people, you never been on the list. Mona Lisa to me ain't nothing but a bitch. Hanging pictures like niggas swinging from his dick. We so different, you thought these didn't exist. The Megalodon never seen on his wrist. I'm from the South where they never make it this rich. God is the greatest, but Satan been on his shit. Walking the pavement, I pray I'm illuminated. Over a decade and never nobody's favorite. Pot and kilo go hand in hand like we gambling huff. My amigo a million grams when we count them enough. You was dead broke, I let you hold it back. You paid for it, but I fuck around and stole the track. Screaming gang, gang, now you wanna rap. Racketeering charges, caught him on the tap. Looking for a bond, lawyers wanna tax. Purple hair, got them faggots on your back.
What's free? Free is when nobody else could tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my niggas I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true. Pray my niggas stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my niggas I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life, yeah. What's free? Fed investigations, heard they plotting like I trapped. 20 million cash, they know I got that off a rap. Maybe it's the Michael Rubens or the Robert Krafts. Or the billionaire from Marcy in the way they got my back. See how I prevailed and now they try to knock me back. Lock me in a cell for all them nights and I won't snap. 250 a show and they still think I'm selling crack. When you bring my name up to the judge, just tell them facts. Tell them how we funding all these kids to go to college. Tell them how we ceasing all these wars, stopping violence. Trying to fix the system in the way that they designed it. I think they want me silenced. Oh, say you can see. I don't feel like I'm free. Locked down in my cell, shackled from ankle to feet. Judge banging that gavel, turned me to slave from a king. Another day in the bing. I gotta hang from a string. Just for popping a willy, my people march to the city. From a cell to a chopper, view from the top of the city. You can tell how we rockin' soon as I pop up. We litty poppin' like Bad Boy in 94. Big poppin' and Diddy and niggas counting me out. Like my account ain't busy, that's 5,000,020. Sit up and count till I'm dizzy. Fade 500,000, 100 round in a stizzy. As we beefin' and rappin', I might just pop up with Drizzy. Like, what's free? Free is when nobody else could tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my niggas I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true. Pray my niggas stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my niggas I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life was free.
In a land of the free where the blacks enslave. 3/5 of a man, I believe's the phrase. I'm 50% of Doucet and it's debt free, yeah. 100% of Ace of Spade, worth half a beat. Rock Nation, half of that, that's my piece. 100% of title to bust it up with my G's. Smokes, my niggas won't ever work together. You run a checker, but they never give you leverage. No red hat, don't Michael and Prince me and yay. They separate you when you got Michael and Prince's DNA. I ain't one of these house niggas you bought. My house like a resort. My house bigger than yours, my spot. Come on, man. My route better, of course. We started without food in our mouth. They gave us pork and pig intestines. Shit you discarded that we ingested. We made the project a wave. You came back, reinvested and gentrified it. Took niggas sense of pride, now how that's free. And them people stole a soul and hit niggas with 360s. I ain't got a billion streams, got $1 billion. Inflating numbers like we po' be happy about this. We was praising Billboard, but we were young. Now I look at Billboard like, is you dumb? To this day, Grandma afraid what I might say. They gon' have to kill me, Grandmama, I'm not their slave. Ha, 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 ha. Check out the bazaar. Rapping style used by me. The HOV, look at my hair free. Carefree, niggas ain't near free. Enjoy your chains, what's your employer name with the hairpiece? I survived a hood, can't no shaitan rob me. My account's so good, I'm practically living tax free. Factory, that's me. Sold drugs, got away, scot free. That's a CCE, copy. Guilt free, steal me. And expect me to not feel away. To this day, USA, y'all kill me. Sucker free, no shucking me. I don't jive turkey, Say happy Thanksgiving shit sound like a murder to me. Smoke free, all of y'all calling out toll free. Label rob you for millions, yet you wanna put a hole in me. Sugar free, season but I'm salt free. You lay a hand on hold my shoe to shoot for free. I promise World War III. Send an order through a hands free. Kill you in 24 hours or shorter, you can't ignore the hand speed. On guard, it's off the head, this improv, but it's no comedy. Sign I fail, hell nah. Ha 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 ha.
Okay,
yeah.
That is our segment. Hashtag this shit goes. If you guys feel like there's any songs that we need to be listening to, probably I won't like them, but you never know.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
I'm open and I'm a DJ. So
just open and a DJ. So that's really the best bet. I'm a writer. I don't give a fuck.
Send my way. And you can actually email us at our website, which is mixtapepod.com.
Yes, and so, I thought you were going to give them an email.
No, but...
So we're going to give you an email when we feel like you're committed.
Or go to the website yeah, and then you can email us from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So mixtapepod.com, and that's M-I-X-E-D. Because we're a bunch of mix chicks.
Yeah.
And right on brand with that is our next segment, which is In the Mix. Do you want to start this off? Or?
We already talked about that.
Well, we didn't go... It was a brief situation.
Oh, I thought that was
as far as like the intro... Oh.
We literally hit every bullet point.
Really? Because I kind of wanted to touch on... I feel like we did a little bit touched on, like, the the revolution of the mixed generation, but...
Yeah, we talked about the revolution. We talked about Alexi. We talked about the kids. Valley being in L. We talked, girl, about that.
Yeah, this is no longer applicable. But, like, what I do want to talk about is kind of just, like, so this... podcast in general, obviously it's called Mixed Tape. That's a play on us being biracial and multi-ethnic. It's not even biracial, like we have so many ethnicities in us, it's a freaking shame. And she already has a child. I plan to fuck somebody to make a baby with even more ethnicities. That's my goal, with obviously more melanin than I have. But so the ultimate kind of point that I want to touch on is that, like, at the end of the day, I feel like society and entertainment in general has really focused on diversity and representation as far as things go. And I feel like there has been a huge, we've evolved in that forefront, just as far as seeing, like, Black narratives, African American narratives, homosexual narratives. You know what I mean? There's a lot more representation. I don't appreciate or tolerate that kind of, the biracial perspective is being a little bit neglected, just because I feel like it's also where future goes, and it's also part of the African American diaspora and our entirety of our footprint, and we're all the same tribe. I don't want this to be divisive rhetoric. I do want this to be 100% inclusive. If there's I'm not only a Spanish girl, you are not only a Filipino girl, but we are Black women, and that is how we identify ourselves, and that is the culture that we support. And we look forward to supporting that and kind of unpacking the perspectives of that lens in general. Other than that, do you want to close with the social media quote of the day? Should I?
Yours. It's you. This is yours. This week is yours. So live it up, girl.
Okay. I'm super excited because I know next week when you have the social media quote of the day, I'm going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
So my quote in this is... Everybody's screaming just to prove they all exist, which I feel like kind of speaks to the social media generation.
Yeah.
It's exhausting and it's interesting as we go.
Go
out
and live life. Like, yeah, social media is important. And I think that people put so much on it when it's really not. I think there's those people that like are like, oh, social media. And it's just like, get over yourself. It's not even that deep. It's social media. But then there are also the people that are like, oh, social media. And it's just like, get over yourself. So,
yeah, no matter what.
Go out there and live life. Be present in the moment. But if you want to document it, so the fuck what? Document that shit. I can't wait for Alexi to look back at my Instagram in 10 years and be like, my mom's tight as fuck.
See, I feel like my niece is going to be like, why did you take a picture of me at that moment?
I don't think that at all. I think Alexi's going to look back and be like, hell yeah, TBT on that ass.
Well, at least we found him a Black Santa this year.
Bitch, yes, we
did.
Shout
out to that.
Yeah.
Finally.
Shout out to Whiskey. We're holding it down.
What's his
whiskey?
Well, that's not the only one.
Unicorn. Wealthy unicorn.
Red, whiskey red. Is it red?
Whiskey red, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways,
whatever, Devin.
Yeah.
You understand who we're talking to.
Shout out to you for being my son's first Black Santa.
Right. As always, it's not that we aren't impressed by your social media following. It's just that we aren't impressed by your social media following. So we are Mixtape
Pod, and catch us next time.
Next week.